up your Bibles, and we're going to read a couple of verses. One's Ephesians 5:20, and the other one is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, or it's going to be up on the screen if you just want to follow it up on the screen. Please stand with me. Let's do something that we don't always do. Let's read in unison our two passages that we have today. And we'll start with Ephesians 5:20. Read it along with me out loud. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next one, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Father, I just pray that you will bless the reading of your word. Holy Spirit, just do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It was 1863, and our country was a mess. Our country was embroiled in a civil war. It was a civil war for the soul of our country. See, our country was founded with compromise. It was founded in compromise. It was a horrible, horrible compromise. But otherwise, it wouldn't have been founded. Because you had southern states where slavery was legal, and you had northern states that were appalled by the industry. But in order to fight the British, to push back the next wave, because after the British were defeated, we had to deal with the French. We had to deal with some of the other countries in the world that once the British were defeated, they wanted us. And so we were constantly embroiled in wars, in fighting. To get us started, we had to compromise. And it was a hard compromise. But it was something that had they not done this, we would have not got founded. And so in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln did the Thanksgiving Proclamation. And he called us all to come together, to set aside our differences and our opinions and our pride, and to come before the living God, and not for any political gain of him, but just to give thanks to God for what he has brought us through. Because as time rippled through, brought horrible, horrible war. It brought death, brought pain and horror to people's lives that is still felt today. There's still such bitter feelings between North and South, bitter feelings between black and white, between minorities and majorities. It's still things that we struggle through. But Abraham Lincoln said, let's stop for a second and let's put all that behind us and let's give thanks. See, this is something that I believe that God has for us. As your pastor, I get appalled at our culture. I get appalled how we jump almost straight from summer into our Christmas season. And don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-celebration of the birth of Christ. I'm anti the stuff. The stuff where you have to buy a stuff. You have to buy a Buick. You have to buy a Lincoln. You see it on the commercials. It just gets hit. You know, they do a joke of Christmas in July, but it's becoming not a joke anymore. They were doing Black Friday specials in July. It's getting to the point where we have totally bulldozed Thanksgiving. And it's to the point where, because there's not a lot of money to be had, we go right to Christmas from summer. And I want to encourage us as God's people here at this fellowship that for the next 2 weeks, we are going to push Christmas back a little bit. And I want you to focus on Thanksgiving. I don't want you to focus on your political differences that you have with people. I don't want you to focus on your economic differences. I want you to focus on our commonality that our God is to be thanked. Amen? Our God is to be praised. And so that's what we're going to focus on this week and next week, just to cultivate in ourselves a heart of thanksgiving as we put aside all the differences. We're about to head into, or actually we're in, a season of political just chaos. And it's only going to get worse as next year is a major election. And the barbs of being thrown at each other and the venom. I think it's so important that you and I shield our hearts right now and we focus on God. Amen? We focus on what we're thankful for, what He's done for us, and who He is to us. So with this simple sermon, I want to go through these two passages and to talk about what God's Word has to say about this heart of thanksgiving. The first is God is calling us to seek His will in all situations. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Do you want to discover God's will? Do you want to know what He has for you? Do you want to know who you are to vote for? Do you want to know who you're to marry if you're a single? Do you want to know how to raise your children? Step number one, pray. Give thanks. Stop long enough to put all the stuff that's on your mind off to the side and to say, Lord, thank you. I'm glad that we did that season of prayer to start off today, where we just gave everybody that wanted to an opportunity to say, thank you, God, for my family. Thank you for a warm home. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your church. Thank you that I have breath in me today. I'm alive. Thank you for my health. There's so much. And what it does, it's the beginning of discovering what God's will is for you. See, when you stop and you put God in that seat of authority in your life, in that throne seat, and you say, you are God and I am not, you are in charge, and thank you for what you do. Everything else seems to fall in line. It's getting the first thing right. And the first thing is to seek His will in all circumstances. These passages break it down. Point A, if you have a note sheet in your bulletin, if you want to keep notes, first is God is calling us to seek His will. The next note in point A, all situations present an opportunity to live out God's word. It's that use of the word always. The title of today's message is The Meaning of Always. In all circumstances. What does always mean? What does all mean? It really means all. wait, Pastor, I can't give thanks for this person that's treating me mean. Yeah, you can. Lord, I can't praise you for my health. It's bad. Yes, you can. I can't praise God for not having money. Yes, you can. All circumstances. Always. It's that putting God on the throne. Remember, we talk a lot about Romans 1. Romans 1 is a very powerful passage in my ministry. In Romans 1, it lays the foundation of what is really behind our culture war that we have today, which, honestly, it goes back to our founding. We were founded with compromise, and we still pay prices for that compromise. In Romans 1, it said the foundation of all of a society's woes,
all the sins, all the corruption, all the evil, it goes back to two truths that God gives all human beings from creation. The truth is his eternal power and his divine nature are clearly seen from creation. What does that mean? His eternal power. There is a God. A God made us. A God created the world. A God created the order in the universe. His eternal power. The next is his divine nature. There is a God and he's divine. He's not human. He's not animal. He's not plant. He's not mineral. There is a God and he is not me. That's the foundation of all our woes. Because Romans 1 goes on to say that because they rejected those two things, God gave them over. He gave them over. He gave them over to all the lust and all the sexual perversion and all the criminal behavior and all the hurtful things, all the prejudice, all the racial strife. Everything that we are still paying the price for, it comes back to who's on the throne in your life. Is there a God and is he beyond you? Amen? That's the foundation of all our woes. Oh, pastor, wait a minute. Are you saying that our struggle with some of the deviancy in our culture, it goes back to not having God be God in our culture and in our life? Yes, absolutely. Well, shouldn't we be passing laws, making everything illegal? Yeah, I don't think so. That's dealing with the symptoms. What's the root? The root is there is a God and he's not me. Can you say that with me? There is a God. There is a God. And he's not me. You are not God. You don't get to determine the situation around you. There is a God. And he's not you. When you come to that understanding, it's the foundation of truth. It's the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of all knowledge and all them. It's the beginning of a moral behavior. Because again, when he's on the throne, then things start falling into place. That's what Thanksgiving does. Thanksgiving starts to acknowledge that there is a God out there. He's beyond me. And he's worthy of my praise and adoration. It's a start. You want to change your culture? Don't lobby your politicians to make new laws. A law can't change a heart. But God on the throne can. And it's got to start with us. Folks, if we put God on the heart, on our throne, in our heart, it's the start. God's word is clear. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'm going to take care of the rest. I'm going to heal their land. I'm going to take care of the moral issues. I'm going to take care of the financial issues. You realize that we are over $20 trillion in debt as a people. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of God not being on the throne. It's a symptom of us trying to be God and to try to take care of everything with the power of our purse. No, there is a God, and he's not me, and he is to be forever praised. In this situation, it gives us an opportunity to live out God's word always. Not just when things are going well, but always. Next, there's no separation between what is sacred and secular. Give thanks for everything. I don't want to get crude, but as I get older, I start giving thanks for things that most people just take for granted. I'm thankful for a system that works. I'm thankful that my food digests. I'm thankful for my body, you know, healing itself through my white blood cells and the flow. Oh, I get so thankful. Thank you, Lord, that things are still working, that things are still as they should be. It's all things in all circumstances. This word for thanks, this is an interesting Greek word that's used here. It's the Greek word, catch this, Eucharisto. Eucharisteo is where the Catholic Church gets the name for the cup that they pass when they give communion. The Eucharist. It's Eucharisto. And there's a passage in the New Testament that calls the cup of the Lord a Eucharisteo, a cup of thanksgiving. When we take communion, we are celebrating in the Eucharisteo, a cup of thanksgiving. What are we thankful for? We're thankful for the life of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He paid for our sins through His blood. We're thankful that He is our God. And we're so grateful that He paid for our sins so that we can have a relationship with Him. Amen? It's a cup of thanksgiving. But again, get away from this idea that our Eucharist cup that we need to celebrate in only happens in this building when we pass the cup. It says always. Not just on Sunday, once a month or once a quarter. Some churches do it once a Sunday. They do it every Sunday they pass the cup. But that's still not enough. It's always. It's 24/7, 7 days a week, the whole month, 12 months in the year, every year of your life. Give thanks always. It's that putting God in the position that He's supposed to be in your life, and for everything in your life, putting Him up there and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but there is a God, and it's not me. It's You. And it's putting Him in His place of superiority in our life. There is no sacred. There is no secular. Your relations with your wife, husbands, that secret, sacred relationship is an act of worship. Your discipline of your kids is an act of worship. Your work is an act of worship. Your driving is an act of worship. It's always, it's all things. There's no, oh, this is God's stuff, oh, and this is my stuff. No, it's all God stuff in all things, always. There's no sacred, there's no secular. It's all to be worshiped. Every aspect of your life. Everything. Now, God's will is revealed through numerous decisions of obedience. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 16 through 18. It says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. The big choices in your life get settled when you make the little choice of putting God first in your life and continually giving Him thanks for every aspect of your life, every point in your day, every harsh situation. You give thanks to God, because nothing happens in your life that doesn't get filtered through the fingers and the hands of a loving God first. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that. If you've ever been truly betrayed by someone, Judy was sharing about some of her situations that she's had in her life of her brokenness. Notice she is praising God for these brokenness. Without the brokenness, we don't see that there is someone that can make us whole. Without the brokenness, we can sit in our arrogancy of our morality and think, I'm not so bad. I'm a good person. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're broken. You have a need for a Savior. Sitting on the throne is destroying your soul. You calling the shots and telling God what He has to do in your life and that He's messing up and there's things not right that He's not doing right is you on the throne. It shows your brokenness. When we step off the throne and we're able to admit that I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. There is a Savior, and He is worthy, and He can save. It puts everything back into perspective. And even though you may have been a Christian for most of your life, some of you got saved when you were 8, 9, 10 years old, maybe even earlier, I want to tell you, it's easy to forget that you're still a sinner in need of salvation. Never forget that. And that's what the cup is supposed to do. When we pass the cup of the Lord, when we do communion together, we're reminded that I am a beggar who have found good bread. And that bread is Jesus Christ, the living bread. And I need Him. I need a fresh filling of Him. I need the Holy Spirit fresh right now. A fresh wind to go through me, to cleanse me, but to keep me in perspective that I am a lost person who has found a Savior, and I'm saved, but not because I'm a good person, because I got a free gift. And you got to keep coming back, and that's what the cup is all about. But we're supposed to break it down from just what we do in church to doing that 24/7 around the clock. You're broken. You need a Savior. And you found the best one. Amen? And we got to celebrate that. We got to keep coming back to that to remember that we have found the Savior. Look, in this, here's some suggestions from this text. Point A. Look for opportunities to see God's blessings in everything. I want to encourage you between now and next Sunday, make a list and bring your list. Because when we open it up to next week, just like we did this week, for things that you're thankful for, I want to encourage as many of you that feel led to at least read off one of them from your list. Make a list of the things that you're thankful for. Make a list. It's so easy just to get caught up in the whirlwind of the day-to-day that you don't stop long enough to say thank you to God for the little things and for the big things. But make a list between next week and this week and bring it with you, because I want as many as possible to call out a blessing of thanksgiving, things that you're thankful for next week. But make a list. Look for opportunities to see God's blessing in everything. Next, seek a continuous line of communication between you and God. In this passage, it says, rejoice always, pray continually. Is there times in your life that you're not allowed to pray? I don't want to get crude, but when you're sitting on the toilet, is that inappropriate to pray? When you're stuck in traffic, when you're stuck in an ice storm or an icy road, is it appropriate to pray? Yes. Again, it's that continuous line of communication. When you're driving down the road and you see a policeman has pulled over somebody, pray for that person. Pray for that policeman. It's always, it's all times, it's in everything. We've got to change our minds about sacred and secular, where this is the place to pray. No. Yes, but not the only place. It's everything. It's always. It's a continuous attitude of prayer to God and giving thanks for things on the road, in your living room, when you're walking, when you're talking with people, to again keep that continuous line between you and God with a heart of thanksgiving. Next, accept the sacredness of every circumstance. Give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how bad my health's been. Well, give thanks to God. It could be worse. We're still breathing. You still had food. You still have shelter. You still have people that love you. You still have a church that's here for you. Again, it's seek a continuous line and accept the sacredness of every circumstance. And point D, the big decisions become clear after making godly decisions on the smaller things. When you cultivate this 24/7 attitude of praise and worship to God, when there's prayer in all circumstances, no matter how miserable, there's still a line between you and your Creator. See, His blood bought that line. His blood made it so that you can talk to Him, not as a created being, but as a son, as a daughter. You are sacred to Him. You are special to Him. You have a special place in His heart. Talk to your daddy. Dad, I'm struggling with this. Make it 24/7. And the big decisions fall into place when the little ones have totally been made this 24/7. We all know how the Civil War ended. We know that the North did win. The South reluctantly conceded. They were defeated by a military force far superior to theirs. But we're still paying price in America for the sins that were compromised. They had to be made to get us started. But we're in a process of continuing to grow as a nation. But it's so important that we stop long enough to give thanks to our God for our journey of where He has taken us and where we are and how far we yet to go as we as individuals put God first in our lives. Amen? And it's the little things of that 24/7 that is going to continually to help us as God's people to share our stories, to reach people for Jesus Christ. See, the solution is not another government program. The solution to our woes is not another law. The solution is not a better politician sitting in the Oval Office or wherever. The solution is God on the throne of human hearts. And it's got to start with us. So this week, cultivate this Thanksgiving 24/7. Make a list and bring it next Sunday. And ask for courage to pray out loud, to call out your thanksgiving to our living God. Because there is a God, and He's not me. Amen? Father, I thank You for this simple message. I thank You for the testimony of Judy. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that is being convicted that they're broken, I pray, Lord, that they will take their brokenness to You, that they will step aside from the throne and put You on the throne, and to pray a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, help me to repent from my sins, to put You on the throne of my heart, and to seek Your will in all things. Lord, if there's someone that has done this, I pray, Lord, that they will find me or one of the elders or one of the directors, and they will ask for them to pray for them. And that, Lord, You will expand the kingdom today. If there's a Christian in this room that has been struggling and is having trouble, to pray continually, to give thanks always in all circumstances. I pray, Lord, that they will seek out someone to pray over them, to comfort them with the power of the Holy Spirit that will take out the anxiety and replace it with a peace that surpasses understanding, a supernatural shalom. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,